he came out to Montel one time and was out there riding the train back. Dad said, Jim, going to meet us? And I said, no. I said, he asked to get married. And I said, I like Jim an awful lot, but I don't love him.
See, Father knew his parents, grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and thought, see, they were acceptable, because Dad wanted to know about all the people you went with.
Uh-huh. And he met this Jim's father in the street one day, and he says, Hiram Bellman, I'm so happy your daughter and my son are getting married. He's telling everybody he's going to marry me. And he took me out one time. They had a wedding out there, and I went out there. It was in the summertime. I was in Ogden. And one of these men says, Jim, is this the girl you say you're going to marry? Uncle Joe, you talk too much. Hmm. And so, anyway, I broke up with him. Then I went with another fellow for a whole year. He never gave me one thing, not one thing. Never went. Oh, we go to a movie once in a while, or this or that, but
for a ride.
Or yeah, for a ride, but I never had a box of candy or flowers or showing basket full of chocolates and everything like that. He never gave me a thing. And I married him. No. No, that was Emma Carwin.
Now that was love.
So you met him out in Nevada?
No.
You were here now.
She knew him before she went out there.
I knew Emma for quite a while. But
they and Jim all used to go together.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Jim and Emma and Emmett's brother Curly, they called him Curly, but Frank was his name. Now, my husband, Emma Carwin, was born in Takema, Nebraska. He's from what he can remember, it was about 60 miles north of Omaha. Oh, he says, when you hear a tornado coming, doesn't make how big or little you are. You can hear it come miles away. You all run for the potato cellar. This is my little tiny brother. He could hardly run, but he ran for it just as fast as the rest of us. And mother and my sister come running out of the house and down the potato cellar until they didn't hear the noise. And he said, it'd be a block away from us, and the house would just blow. Twist them around, put them down, nothing. But she never did hit the home, and they lived in Omaha a while. And then they lived in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and he went to his mother. Well, I might as well say, his mother was Blanche Otha, and his father was Franklin, F-R-A-N-K-L-I-N, Corbin Dennis. And his mother, yes. Blanche Otha, and his stepfather, Jack Carwin, raised him, so Emmett's gone by his stepfather's name. And so, Emma.
Old name is a lot prettier.
Dennis is, but then, I have no say about that, but I just
so how much you got.
We've still got several more minutes.
Well, yeah. We've got Byron to talk about yet.
Well, I was old maid of 24 when I got married, and we had our 50th wedding anniversary in, I can't even remember the year now. She got to sign them getting old. Don't tell anybody though. And on May the 14th, which is this year, 1989, we had our 53rd wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
And then the next one in the family, the youngest, Byron Knight Belknap. He was born September the 18th, 1914. And our grandmother, Adeline Belknap, maiden name was Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, so that's where Brian got his middle name. Mm-hmm. And he went to Longfire School too. And I don't know if he made the first two grades, it wasn't for me because he was so sensitive and he'd cry and cry. And I get to school, I'd have to coax him and hug him, kiss him, love him. He wouldn't come in. Then he had a central, I don't know if he'd ever been there, had to go downstairs, just 3 floors downstairs, and then upstairs to the meeting floor, and then on up to the third floor. And
is that the central that's down on?
No, this is Lauren Farr I'm talking about.
She's got the name mixed. That's Lauren Farr she's talking about.
Lauren Farr you're talking about. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And
the other central's gone that we were at.
Anyway, But I get him inside the building and try to get him down the stairs, and he crying. Mr. Blaisdell, come on, Byron. We love you and we like you. Come on, join us and that. And we both take him down, and I keep hugging him and finally get him in there. And I guess I was kind of smart some ways, because you could hear him coming down the hall crying, just crying for all his work. And he'd come into my room just a boo-hooing, and he'd sit beside me and hug me. I'd give him a hug and a kiss. Then I went right on with my lessons, because I'm afraid if I didn't, either get, so he could come to school, I couldn't. But he soon got over doing that.
He was a very timid youngster.
Uh-huh. And very sensitive, too. And he's quite emotional, Byron is. I know his son Gary worked at June Glenn's store for a while. And he's like his mother, outgoing, you know, and nothing bothered him. So Byron came up to get him. He said, he didn't like me. She says, no, not like you, like his mother. But, let's see, Byron graduated from Mountain High School. I can't tell you, I don't remember.
He went to, they had Orpheum Theater, like you did, for graduation. Uh-huh. And Byron and I went together. He had two tickets. He gave one to Dad and one for me, and they weren't together, and I felt so sorry when I got there. I'd see my father all alone, and I felt sorry for him, but he was at one side of the Orpheum Theater, not at the other, and I didn't see him go out. Byron,
I didn't get to that graduation.
No, you didn't. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting a first child, but I went around with him and helped him.
His mother was dead when Byron graduated.
Is there time to tell who they married in a mission?
Yes, and then he took German at Ogden High, and then he wanted to go on the mission, and he said he preferred Germany. Well, he got his call to Germany, and while over in Germany, it was a big mission then. Now they got them small, and they keep better track of them, because Church of the Firstborn got started over there.
In France.
Oh, in really? France, because the president couldn't keep track of them, so big. And then he was sent to Bern, Switzerland for a while. And that's where he met Hedwig Schindler. And, it was during World War II, and he sent for her to come. And of course, Germans had already conquered France, and that's, she couldn't fly over France or anything, so she had to go down to Spain. And undress him and inspect him, and get on the other side to push him and do the same thing. And she caught a ship to take her to New York City.
Yeah.
And it was, she went to look at it a day or two before it sailed. Oh, the drab, ugly gray ship, and that was something that's ugly in her life. Anyway, she says they all got on there, and then the captain says, I want to tell all you passengers something. You know, we're having the war right now. We do not know how the subs, German subs, find our route. But they do. And he says, we change our way of wheeling and winding to get to the United States. So we're going a different way. We can't tell you. But he says, now, I'm telling you, passengers, that so any of you want to back out, do it now. We'll give you a half hour to get your things and get off the ship. And quite a few did get off, and some, but Hedy stayed with it. And she said, there was a lady, she was German, and she had a Jewish baby, and a couple parents of this baby had escaped to the United States, but they couldn't get the baby out. And so she was a governess taking it. She taught French, I mean German.
And French.
Well, she told Hedy she could talk French, but Hedy says she didn't. She talked German all the way to the United States. But Hedy said they were 3 weeks getting to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone to South America over and up. And they had to change their route every time. And we thought, we don't know how those German things find out about where we're going. It has to go a different way every time.
Mm-hmm.
And were they glad when they saw the Statue of Liberty. and she came out to
Utah. They took them to Ellis Island.